Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will begin a new series from the book of Acts with a message entitled, Speaking of the Kingdom. Father, bless your word, we pray. Strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm reading from Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 to 14. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. We speak of the kingdom today, even as Jesus here spoke to those after his resurrection about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The book of Acts is truly a remarkable record of what took place in the immediate decades following Christ's resurrection. Dr. Luke was the only Gentile of all of the New Testament writers, we are very sure. And Dr. Luke, he was the one who highlights for us in a very particular way the crucifixion of Jesus and that he was alive. Of course, all of the evangelists do not miss this point. But Luke, he, after having concluded his gospel account, he now once again takes pen in hand and he wants to write, and how grateful we are that under the Holy Spirit he did in fact do this. He writes of what took place thereafter. Jesus, as he hung upon the cross, one of his declarations was, It is finished. if we were to take Jesus and to misapply and to misunderstand what he meant by that, we might think that the New Testament should conclude simply with the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yes, indeed, as Jesus made that declaration, "It is finished," he was saying that the ancient enemy, death, was done. And though he would die, yet for all of us who trust in him, he knew that the power of death was broken. And he also knew that the old penalty, the old question mark of that debt which was outstanding, Jesus knew the price had been paid, the old account was settled fully, finally. There was nothing more that needed to be done. But Jesus understood that there was yet work to do. Jesus had endeavored to invest in his disciples, though they were dull of hearing and though there was difficulty in them understanding and grasping a hold of what he had to say. Jesus, in the final moments and days leading up to the cross, in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 particularly, we read of Jesus anticipating and speaking to the disciples of the Spirit who would come, who would help them, taking the things which Christ had spoken and bringing them to vibrant, living, color life before them. Things which they previously were too dull and too blind to see, all of a sudden they would comprehend. And they would. That's what he was talking about. Those types of moments when the Spirit would continue that good work that Christ had begun in their lives. Yes, indeed, finished. But yet a work that needed to be done. As Luke takes parchment and pen in hand, and we believe that he was leaning hard upon the preaching of his companion, the Apostle Paul, in what he records here, as well as digging that he had done himself. The first account, of course he's referring to his gospel account, the first account I composed, Theophilus, loved of God is the meaning of that name. The first account I composed, Theophilus, and you got that one just as you're getting this one. That I wrote, and that was about all that Jesus, he began to do and teach. It was the beginning, but it was not the ending. What we have in Acts and in the letters and in the Revelation is what Jesus will continue to do through the Spirit in the lives of those who have been called out of this world and called out of sin and called out of the very clutches of death, that they might be the church of the living God, the called ones of the living God, and that they might look forward for all eternity to spending eternity with God. What Jesus began to do and teach. Jesus had come, and what he had begun to do was to speak of the kingdom of God. In Matthew particularly, that disciple latches on to that word kingdom. And if you have a kingdom, you have a monarch, you have a king. And Jesus was that king. But Jesus
what he began to do and teach until that day that he was taken up into heaven after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders. Acts chapter 1 is infused with directive, pointed language. We hear the word orders. Later on, we will hear the word command. We will also hear of authority and power. Here, Jesus, he gives orders to the apostles whom he has chosen. Jesus, he prayed all night, and then in the next morning, he chose those disciples who would be with him, and those disciples, as they got to know Jesus, and as Jesus poured into them, they became those who would be sent, those chosen ones. And Jesus does not send them, for that is what apostle means, one who is sent. Jesus does not send these ones out except he equips them. Now certainly he had equipped them through those 3 years, and he had even given them very practical experience. He had sent them out 2 by 2 in order that they might be the forerunners into the villages where he himself was going to come. They had training. They had discipling. They had practical experience. But also, after Jesus went to the cross, and after he was raised, verse 3 tells us that to these, Jesus also presented himself alive after his suffering. We must not miss the point that it was Luke who records this for us, a medical man who knew the details of crucifixion very well and knew the incredible duress and stress that would be placed upon a body. Many men never made it to the point of crucifixion, although they were under that judgment, under that condemnation. The flogging which would precede, or the business of carrying their cross out to the place of execution, was enough to do them in. And so though they dreaded those nails going into their hands and feet, and the moments and even hours whereby a person would linger in horrific pain, the carbon dioxide continuing to build up in the system until utter fatigue would take the person away. But that could last for a long time. But many, they never made it there. Was Jesus really dead? Luke and all of the disciples, the apostles, as well as a great host of others, they knew he was dead. There was no doubt in their mind. Those who do not understand crucifixion and the incredible strain, they might say, well, he just swooned and later on he was revived in the cool grave. So much so that he could overpower the guards along with the help of others and then be standing perfectly well out in broad daylight. They simply do not understand what crucifixion was all about, and that the Roman guards, they knew their business very well, and that to hold back on their task was to endanger their own very lives. Luke says that in verse 3, to these Jesus also presented himself alive after that horrific suffering, and by many convincing proofs, this is a man who has been to the academy, he has studied, he knows the discipline of digging in and not taking things simply at face value. He talks about convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, gathering them together, he commanded. See, there were orders, and now Jesus, he commands these that they are to wait in Jerusalem for what the Father promised. Jesus himself had also spoken of this. What the Father had promised, which he said, you also heard of from me, John, that's John the Baptist, baptized with water, but you will be baptized. There will be an enveloping with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He did not say how many days, but he said, it will not be long. Wait. Wait for the Spirit. When they had come together, they were asking Jesus, they latched on to that word, kingdom. Lord, is it at this time, now, that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? While we were with you through those 3 years, there were times when the crowds were swelling, and especially when you fed the people, 5,000 of them, with just a little bit of bread and fish. And the people, they said, this is the one who we've been waiting for. Let's take him and make him king by force. And you evaded their grasp and you slipped away and the opportunity was gone. Surely, the kingdom that you're talking about is that kingdom along with the places which we have salivated over and which we have been so eager to take and to occupy. Lord, is it now? Is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? Those great days that we read about of centuries gone by, when the Jews were a distinct and honorable kingdom, are you going to restore it now? We understand that maybe before your crucifixion and resurrection, maybe before that was a little bit premature, but now people have seen you killed and you're back to life. What could be better? What could be more effective than that you are the one who the Jews have looked for to come for so long? Is it now? Jesus says to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority. Jesus has talked about orders. He has talked about commands. Here we have authority, and the next verse speaks of power. Not for you to know those times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power, you will receive, that is, authority, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and this is what you will be. These are the positions that you will occupy, not those positions of power in the kingdom of Israel, but you will be witnesses in the kingdom of God, and you will be such in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. The form or the shape which Acts subsequently takes can be very easily traced to what Jesus says there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus, first of all, would be proclaimed there on the street in Jerusalem. It was the epicenter of the Jewish world. And Jesus, who had died there and who was raised there, he needed to be honored and proclaimed there, but then in Judea. And then, through especially Philip's preaching, Philip the evangelist, he would be proclaimed in Samaria. And then, through various apostles, actually through them all, preeminently through the apostle Paul, we learn of how that he was proclaimed far beyond. Is it now the authority which you surely have? Jesus says, no. Have you ever been glad that God did not answer your prayer in the way you prayed it? I most certainly have been. I've realized over a period of time that God in His kindness overrode my desire and overrode the very specific intent I had with my prayer. And God had better things. Here, essentially, the disciples, they are praying, the apostles, they are praying, Lord, is it now? We would like to know. We would like to be let in on what is going on. We want that kingdom of Israel to flourish. They were praying for that. And Jesus, His desire, His goal, the movement, it is all towards the kingdom of God. Jesus is then lifted up. And the disciples, they don't want to miss anything. They're looking intently at what's going to happen next. Two men come along beside them. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, the name Jesus comes to us from the Old Testament named Joshua. And there were numerous men and boys who bore the name Joshua in the first century. But these two, dressed in white robes, they say, this Jesus, not another one, but this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven. And they return from Jerusalem, not far. The Mount of Olives, they measured it out as a Sabbath day's journey, a journey which you could take on the Sabbath day and yet keep within the confines of the Mosaic law as not having exerted yourself, not having overdone it. And they gather in that upper room, and there's Peter and John and Andrew and James and all the rest of them. They were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Their hearts were set upon what God would have them to do. And along with the women, we read of these women who had cared for Jesus and His disciples out of their own means and had gone with Him. And His mother, Jesus' own mother, Mary. And shock of all shock, Jesus' own brothers, the very ones who previously thought He was out of His mind. He's embarrassing the family. But there as well, because they have come to understand that their big brother was God's very own Son. Jesus came, and in those 3 years of ministry, He spoke of the kingdom of God. And here now, once again, after His passion, after His suffering, what was His theme? It was all the kingdom of God and what God was accomplishing and what God was yet intending to do through the Spirit so coming upon these waiting 120 there in the upper room that they might be His witnesses and that God might be praised, honored, and glorified. Here we have orders, commands, authority, power. It all comes from Jesus Christ, who is the one who has worked such a work for you and for me. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for what we read of here. You came, you went to the cross, and you confidently declared, "It is finished." Finished. What a wonderful word. Lord, we rejoice in that. But yet we understand there is proclamation to be made. And even as salvation is not in our power, the proclamation cannot be in our power or either. It must be in the power of God. And so, Lord, by your Spirit, continue to send forth your word and to receive praise, honor, and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Hearts to Believe. Pastor H.H. Barber, now for nearly 2 years in glory, is remembered for many things, but especially as a preacher of the Word. For 75 years, a very active gospel ministry, it was his delight to take his Bible in hand and to preach of the cross, of the Savior who died there, and of the invitation which God extends to us to be reconciled to God. June 23, 2022 marks the 100th anniversary of Pastor Barber's birth. Hearts to Believe is remembering how God used this man in a remarkable way. We have selected numerous sermons by Pastor Barber to include on a brand new 2-DVD set. You will be richly blessed as you see his familiar face and hear him invite you to dig into God's Word. Ask for your free copy of Pastor H.H. Barber's sermons when you write to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6, or call us at 1-833-367-3852. This 2-DVD set of sermons is sent free and postage paid. It is yours simply for the asking. Our prayer is that this new release, as with all the Hearts to Believe resources, is that you may be strengthened in your walk with Christ and come to better know His abundant and everlasting life. We leave you now with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and unto the day of eternity. Amen.